You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Ricky, what were you doing on Sunday when everybody was just spending seven straight hours watching football?
I was traveling. I went to Austin for the Texas-Bama game, and then I flew to Seattle for a cannabis event yesterday. The game was on during the event, but I got to see some highlights, but I was working.
But
getting really, 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 really high.
How do you think the judiciousness with which Texas calls you? Does Texas like, all right, we got Bama, we got to get Ricky in?
Actually, it's more, they don't really even call me anymore. They might call for recruits, but it was more for work. You know, a big game like that, a lot of people come into town, so there's opportunities to show my face and get paid for it. It's a great game. It's a great game too. My favorite thing about the trip, probably, it was the first time that I actually got to meet KD in person. That was a pleasure.
Tell us about that, because there are a number of things I want to ask you, because you're a Texas, I don't want to call you a mascot, but you're one of the most famous alums that they've ever had. You brought a lot of glory to the school at a time that it didn't have a lot around football. And going back there and finding the opportunity in being able to sell stuff, marijuana related, and saying, and I got really, really high. I can't believe that that's a thing that's possible given the pipeline you came up, even in Austin, I can't believe, Ricky, that that's how you get to do that. Like, the evolution of that is crazy.
Well, it's still a process. You know, there's still like I went to Texas, and one of the potential work opportunities was doing something with Wendy's. And we pretty much had the deal signed. But because it was such a big game, the CEO of Wendy's made the trip. And when he heard that Ricky Williams was representing Wendy's, he said, isn't that the football player that smoked pot? And then he nixed the deal. So it's still a process, but I'm enjoying, you know, pushing the line and seeing what's acceptable and what's not. So one of the appearances I did was at a bar Friday night before the game, and it was a party that I hosted. And so people showed up, and main crux of the conversation was about astrology and cannabis. And what? At the end of the appearance, one of the guys that worked at the restaurant invited me to go on the back to where they go and smoke. And so me and a couple of the employees went to the back and shared a joint. And for me, it's nice because, you know, sometimes I don't always travel with cannabis, and it's nice to break bread with people in a way that it's, you know, for them, it's like a bucket list experience. That was great. The other cool thing was in the airport on the way to Austin, a kid walked up to me and said he was a fan of the Le Batard Show and asked, based on the stars, if Texas had a shot to beat Alabama. That's great.
What happened with Wendy's? Can you explain this to me?
Yeah, so there was a deal where I was going to come and do something for Wendy's, do an appearance for Wendy's. And when the CEO of Wendy's, who was coming to Austin for the game, heard that I was the the player they had chosen, when, you know, he made the connection that I was connected to cannabis, he nixed the deal.
And how often does that happen? And what kind of deal was nixed there? And what does that feel like to you? Do you just say, okay, I've got to keep this? It continues to be a challenge. I mean, it's his money.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool because, you know, it's part of the story. You know, in a couple of years when all of these companies have to start marketing to cannabis consumers, I'll have these stories to tell. Hey, you know, back when I was 45, they told me no. And now look at it. It's everywhere.
I'd say 50% of the people at in the Wendy's drive-thru are high off their ass.
Exactly. That was my argument. Is half of your, probably most of your employees and half of the people that come are consumers. But we're not there yet. And I think we're getting closer. And I feel like me doing this and doing my thing helps push the conversation.
What did you and KD talk about? I've always been curious because you always see, like, whenever famous people interact, like, on a basketball court, and they're like, I always wonder, like, what are they talking about? Commonalities being famous.
You guys do the thing where you overlaugh at each other's conversations to make everybody else think you guys are having this just, like, wonderful conversation.
I'm guessing he also wants to talk to you about weed, no?
Yeah. That was kind of, so the deal was I had to fly to Seattle for the appearance I had yesterday, but I got a call on Friday night saying KD's coming in town for the game and he's never met you and he wants to hang out. And so I was like, great. And, you know, I tried to move my plans around, but I couldn't. And so I went up to him at the game and I said, hey, I never met you in person, but, you know, I have a lot of respect for you. And he said, yeah, I heard we're hanging out tonight. And I said, actually, I have to fly to Seattle, but I'll be in New York next week. And he said, I'll be there too. So hopefully we'll be able to get to spend some time together and talk this upcoming weekend.
You, as somebody who is now on the periphery of sports, and KD, you're looking at as a Texas alum, best basketball player in history, was kind of you of basketball. You look at everything happening with him in public, and I don't know how much you're following this, but his interactions with social media tend to be so poisonous that it seems like he's infected with a sort of misery from absorbing the shitty stuff in fame, that you can actually teach him some things because he has navigated this way, this cesspool in a way that seems like it's not terribly healthy for him. And it's made him bitter. He's not, like, enjoying this part of it. Doesn't seem from afar like he's enjoying his fame.
Yeah. And I think he's in the process of working through that, though, just from talking to a couple of his guys. I'm really impressed with how he's approaching it. And, you know, from the outside, we look at the athletes and we think that they have, you know, they're in the advantageous spot. But actually, you're stuck because you have all this pressure to be what people expect you to be. And if you're an insightful person, you start to feel all the pressure to use the platform to be who you actually are. And I think it's an extremely difficult thing to navigate, but he's working on it. And so I don't think it's, at this time in history of the way we look at fame and people who are famous, I think it's impossible to really enjoy it until it becomes something where we celebrate people for being themselves. But that requires the famous people to be comfortable enough to be themselves.
I imagine you hanging out with KD and, like, in the middle of it, you just get curious. You're like, what time were you born? Do you, like, ask people?
It's coming. But, you know, I someone famous like that, I try to just drop hints and then wait until they ask me for the information. But if we're hanging out for a whole day, I'm sure it'll come up.
Well, how long did you talk for, and why do you imagine that he wanted to meet you or would go out of his way that way to meet you? Because you were probably coming 10 years before him to that school, Ricky. You were probably something that was on his wall as a kid or something, right? You're the age.
Well, I think at least when he was on campus, you know, he had to, like, hear about me. And because I was so associated with Texas, I'm sure it had, even if it wasn't conscious, it had something to do with his choice to come to Texas. First of all, I think it's strange that we've never met each other in person. So that was the cool part, to actually make that contact. And I would say I'll answer that question from an astrological perspective. So in my chart, I have a lot of relationship symbolism really being triggered right now. And so what I'm having to work on is my instinct is to be an introvert and to be at home around the people that truly know me, you know, my wife and my kid. Okay. So this it's Venus seventh house stimulation in my chart is really urging me and saying that, you know, the good things in life are showing up through other people. And so I've really pushed myself to be more social. And when things are going on in a chart, we see evidence synchronistically. And so over the past couple of weeks, I've just had more opportunities to be social. Part of that is connected to the beginning of the football season. And so I'm really taking it on myself to maximize my exposure and finding like-minded individuals with whom I can connect with.
So I didn't know that's how it worked with famous people, that like his people like arranged who he was hanging out with later in the day, like through your people or whatever, right? But if someone does that and reaches out and is like, hey, Ricky, you want to hang out, and you're made aware, and you start looking at the charts and your Venus seventh house and his don't line up or whatever, do you then like cancel and like just make up a flight to Seattle? Not that you did, but like you're in Seattle.
It's more like I don't see his chart, so I can just see what's going on with me. And I know in general for the next couple of years that I'm moving into this more relational time. And so because I'm just entering this time, pretty much anyone that says they want to connect, I just say, okay. Because for me, it's more working on changing the habit of preferring to be by myself and realizing that for the things that I want to do and create in the world, I need other like-minded individuals. And going through that process of getting to know someone, pushing myself to do that more.
Well, you've also learned, have you not, that pushing through discomforts is where you find growth, not to go too life coachy on you. It's not just the stars, right? You're trying to actively push yourself into a place beyond the sedentary. Yeah, of course, I'd be happy to be with my child and my wife in the middle of love, never trying anything ever again.
Yeah. And so to me, really, like the significance of how I use the chart, it's most of the time it's where I feel like inner tension. Like, which means that the universe is pushing me to grow in a direction where I might have a little inertia. And that's when I look to the chart to find where my inertia is. Because I don't think it's always true that pushing through discomfort leads to positivity. I think if you're being urged to learn something, that's always going to be a valuable discomfort to push through. And so I'd look, when I'm feeling uncomfortable, I look at the chart to see where is this discomfort coming from and what can I lean into to release the pressure and engage in this educational experience that the universe is putting in front of me.
Do you have a better map than that, that gives you better comfort than that? Than just for you, like for those who are listening to this and are like, what a fool, what is he doing? What an idiot. I don't believe in any of this stuff. And you are saying, nope, I find some understanding here and some fluency that these people listening don't understand. It not only soothes me, you can think it's a flimsy science, but it gives me a path. It gives me lights.
Yes, 100%. And, you know, I grew up in a very religious family. And so having something to believe in, looking for understanding is a habit. But, you know, by the time I was 10 or 11, you know, looking for understanding, I outgrew the Christianity that was presented to me. And so I kept pursuing other ways to find truth and find understanding. And I've looked everywhere. And it wasn't until I found astrology that I found something that engages me mentally and helps me connect the dots to help develop more and more faith. And so for me, it's logic, but unless someone understands the system, it just sounds like gibberish.
Do you think you and Kevin Durant are like-minded individuals?
I do. I do on a certain level. I think the fact that we both have publicly come out and shared the fact that we use cannabis, the fact that we both went to the University of Texas, the fact that we were both, you know, the top, one of the best players in our game. I think just based on those similarities, I think you can start to see how we are at least somewhat like-minded.
Do you ever feel the discomfort that you talk about and you check your chart and you're just not figuring it out and you realize you just have to take a shit?
No, that's easy. You know, I've been taking shit since I was born. So that one's easy to figure out. It's the more complex kinds of discomfort.
I've got me just like looking at a chart, like, you know what I got a shit. That's what it is.
But oftentimes it's related. You know, like bubble guts when you're anxious about something. You know, you can shit and you can have the release, but the anxiety doesn't go away. That's when you. So yeah, sometimes I have discomfort.
This is
I shit,
what passes
and then,
for.
And then I look at the chart.
Sometimes you sit on the toilet, you feel like you've shit, you feel the relief, and you look down. You didn't. Nothing happened.
Yeah, it was just a chart. See, beautiful.
Just the chart or a chart?
Both. Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad that we go from wisdoms of the cosmos to Chris Cody.
Wisdoms of the buttholes.
Yes, thank you for all of your work in this area. Appreciate you, Chris, coming down here and soiling everything with your sense of humor. But as you talk about the Kevin Durant stuff, Ricky, or as we force you to talk about the Kevin Durant stuff, how often does that happen where you can't make your schedule work for someone you really want to meet, or somebody requires you to break everything in your schedule because you must meet them? They mean that much to you.
Well, I feel like this was kind of a combination. And the synchronicity of the fact that he's going to be back in New York and I happen to be in New York next weekend, it actually creates a better environment for us to hang out and spend time together. So it was a plus. And I think to be able to have that eye-to-eye contact and meet each other to set up, hopefully, this upcoming weekend, to me, that's ideal.
All you have to do is convince him to do his chart with us here on the show. Just tell him, I'd like to do it publicly. Open yourself up to a new experience, and we will just take from you and your relationship in the name of content and suck all the soul out of it. Very good?
Yeah, that probably won't happen, but I get it.
Alabama, Texas, when you're there, does it hurt to lose at the end, or are you beyond this now?
So I went to the game. I did some stuff for Fox. Got to talk to my good friend Reggie Bush. And then I walked Asha and Elijah, my two kids that live in Austin. We walked onto the field. They got to show off their dad in front of all their friends. Then I walked them to their seats, went back to the field, watched the first half of the game. Then I had a flight to catch. And so, but of course, these days my flight was delayed. And so I got to sit at the airport and watch the rest of the game. And I was proud of the way they played. And I think this team took a giant step forward. I know it sounds like that, you know, pride speech, but I feel good about it. And I was happy that I was leaving Austin after the way they lost, disappointment. Because the one thing I find I'm overly sensitive to is how when in a city or a team or a group, when there's disappointment, how it just infects the whole group. That sends me back to my football days, and I don't really love that.
I don't want to get you in any trouble, but you and I have talked about how your relationship with Austin has changed, right? Because when you got there, it was, and this is not to disparage Austin, but it's different from what it is that you came up in, right? You felt like you came up through a more hippie counterculture Austin than the one that presently is vastly trendier.
Yeah, but that's what happens. You know, there's a secret spot that's very special, and eventually people are going to find out about it, and it's going to change. But, you know, I'll always have fond memories of the Austin that I remember it. And it's cool. I'm proud of what Austin has become. You know, it doesn't necessarily resonate with me as much as it used to, but I'm proud to say I went to the University of Texas, and now look at Austin. It's, you know, one of the country's most popular, exciting, amazing cities.
We
love that when I come back. You know, it's wonderful to come back to Austin. You know, even though half the people don't know who I am, the half the people that do, they still love me, and it's worth it.
My good friend Reggie Bush. Look at me, Louie. My good friend Reggie Bush is quite the name drop there, Ricky. You could have just said Reggie Bush.
Well, I had to say my good friend because he's from San Diego. Both running backs. Both played for the Saints. Both played for the Dolphins. It's just good friend.
Both Heismans.
Well, both Heismans. One Heisman.
Yeah.
No, one Heisman. The other one got taken away in a
scandal. But he still won the Heisman from San Diego.
But he can't have it, and he's tried to get it 1,000 different ways, and you left yours in my father's garage.
And then I sold it. So we're in the same spot. Neither of us have our Heismans.
What did you sell it for, if that's not an indelicate question? Like, because I thought you couldn't like sell like the Oscar and stuff like that. Like, don't have to go back to the Academy.
I was the last Heisman winner that wasn't prohibited from selling.
What'd you sell it for? What does a Heisman go for?
Mine went for the first time it sold for $250. I think in auction it went for a lot more, but I got $250 for it.
And then it was resold by someone else.
It was resold at auction. I think a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Are you curious what it sold for?
I knew at the time because it was all over the news, but it was a good chunk of money.
Did you think, oh, I should have held on a little longer? Like the markup on the Heisman is going up.
I needed the money, so.
But it's the last one people can buy.
It was right on time. The money was right on time.
You think they serve Reggie Bush eviction papers from the Heisman house? Like once they take the Heisman back?
Is he in those commercials still?
Well, I think he got his taken away before they started the commercials, or they might have, yeah. Because now the commercials become a competition, you know, that the company hired to do the commercials, they try to make them as edgy as possible. So I'm sure they would have come up with something where they invited Reggie and we didn't let him in.
You haven't been in any, have you?
It's been a couple of years. I've been in, I think, three total so far.
By the way, your Heisman Trophy sold at auction in 2019 for $504,000.
Oh, not bad.
You mentioned earlier that Texas recruiting will reach out to you sometimes. What kind of stuff do they ask you to do?
Just to meet recruits. You know, let's say we have some recruits. Can you come into town and have breakfast or have lunch with them?
Are you a good salesman?
I feel like Ricky might just be like, none of this even matters, man. Yeah. You're good.
You ever get
go
high
where your heart tells you.
You get high with the recruits ever?
No, not yet, but I'm sure it's coming. I'm guessing in 10 years, that's going to be part of like the stick of coming to Texas.
Oh my God. What a great meet and greet experience. Come smoke with Ricky Williams, one of the OGs. You must be a bit in this realm, Ricky. This is a funny life development. In this realm, you get to be feel a little bit like the Marleys must feel. And I know that you had a spiritual connection with that family.
Oh, 100%. But not even just the smoking part, but it's what happens after the smoking part, the sesh, the conversation. You know, because a lot of times you get, especially guys together, they start smoking, the walls come down, you start to have more real conversations. I think that's the coolest part, is when I'm hanging with people smoking, just where the conversations go. That's what I enjoy. And we are like, it is cool that I can go, you know, we're talking about this now, about getting a Heisman tour bus and going around the country during football season and having sessions with people.
Do you ever meet a recruit and they're like, where'd you go to school?
Not at Texas, no, but it's happened before. Yeah.
How often do recruits not know who you are? Who the hell are you? What you're saying doesn't mean anything to me.
If we're at Texas, that doesn't ever happen. But if I'm in California meeting California recruits, but usually the California recruits have a dad who is about my age. And so most of them know through their fathers or through the older mentors in their life. And so I think once you get around football, you kind of are introduced to the pantheon of football greats. And I'm not saying I'm in that pantheon, but I'm close enough that people usually have heard my name.
Whose chart are we reading today?
So I don't know how to pronounce her name, but I know that she just won the U.S. Open.
Oh, I think it's Iva Swiatek is how you say her name?
Yeah, her. So I don't know if Dan, if you saw the information that was sent to me, but I just want to be sure I'm picking up the context. That is she someone that just kind of burst onto the scene, or has she been number one for a while?
She's she is the current number one player in the world. It's Iga Swiatek, by the way. But she's only 21 years of age and she's already won 3 Grand Slam titles. So she's very much a burgeoning young star in women's tennis.
So I don't know anything about her. I looked at her chart and there is a good birth time. So we got houses. And so it's more interesting for me. And I guess the one thing that jumped out is she's what we would say a double Gemini, meaning when she was born, she was born right around sunrise in Gemini season, which means that both the sun and the rising sign are in Gemini. Okay. So that's what intrigued me first. And then next, looking at what's going on in her chart, is that's why I asked the question. It seems like if I was talking to someone in this chart, I would say, you know, get ready for an explosion of people getting to know who you are. People, the world is going to know who you are. And also, I would say there's a lot of money coming into your life. She's got a lot of stimulus to the second house, and anything that triggers the second house usually either brings money or takes money away. Okay? So the technical astrological configuration is the progressed sun, and the sun in astrology represents our identity. And when we add the word progressed in front of it, it means it's our evolving identity. Our evolving identity. And I'm going to get technical here because it's interesting. So the progressed moon, it moves 1 degree a year. 1 degree a year, okay? So when she was born, the sun was at 9 degrees Gemini, okay? At 1 degree a year, it just moved into the sign of Cancer, right? So, you know, I would say probably, you know, I don't know if she's in a relationship or she's dating, but my sense is maybe because of all the fame, you know, there's going to be this need to like settle down a little bit, right? Because Gemini is kind of chaotic, right? It rules short journeys, practice, going back and forth, okay? But after a while, you know, running back and forth gets old and we're ready to kind of settle down. right? And so a time in her life where there's money and with the responsibility and the money, probably a need to want to settle down. So I wouldn't be surprised if she's in a relationship in the next couple of years, we hear about her getting married. Okay. And also the sun entering the second house is shining its light on her Mercury, right? And that's her communication. So again, I'm just saying this because I'm imagining she's Polish, right? US Open, this idea of having to speak more, okay? So over the last year, this next year, right? More opportunities to improve her ability to communicate. And if you're winning a lot of tournaments, you're gonna have microphones in your face a lot. And the second house is usually where we hold our insecurities. So my guess is she might have a little insecurity about her ability to communicate. But through this opportunity, she blows past that insecurity and her voice, how she communicates, becomes her greatest boon. This comes back full circle to the fact that she's a double Gemini. Gemini is about sharing your voice. And so I predict she has a great career, has a great platform, and that when we remember her, hopefully it's for the things that came out of her mouth.
Ricky, good catching up with you. We have missed you, sir.
Yes, it's good to be back. Thank you.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dan Le Batard.
We just gotta change the language up, because challenge just sounds contentious. Let's call it a politely disagree.
Ooh, how about this? An oopsie.
There you go.
All right, put it on the poll. At Le Batard Show, should a challenge be called an oopsie to placate the referee's ego?
An oopsie flag.
Stugatz.
Or the red flag, the challenge flag, should not be called a challenge flag, or the flag should say on it, love your butt.
Red is also an aggressive color.
Very, very aggressive.
Maybe pink.
We should actually, have them throw daisies and call them whoopsie daisies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Whoopsie daisies.
Yes. This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Mike Schur is back again, as he has been for many days now, really wasting a great deal of time. I learned recently that the whole thing takes an hour. He's got to get ready in the morning. He's got his wife, doesn't like being woken up or anything else, but he's working for us, and he's working for not much money. Why are you making a face, Jessica? What happened?
Blaming his wife.
That sounded like I was blaming his wife.
It's his wife's fault for not wanting to get up early.
You just said like a normal thing. Like, he wakes up, he does this. Yeah.
Brushes his teeth, puts clothes on. Who does that?
He waltzes away with my drugs.
He's very busy. And he's
how many?
It's an hour. Anyway, Mike Schur is with us. What do you have today for us, Mike?
Well, first of all, thank you for telling people how hard I work at this job, because that's actually sort of the point of why I'm here today. As you know, I take my role as unpaid stats intern at Meadowlark very seriously. And my search for the perfect stat has taken me all over the world. Los Angeles, Scotland, and that's it. But recently, I have felt like there must be more to this, Dan. There must be somewhere a stat that was so great and so perfect that it would make all the other stats pale in comparison. And so I journeyed to this remote mountaintop.
Gondor?
You can see behind me in a country that will go unnamed, really? So I can't be accused of cultural appropriation. And I climbed that mountain for 7 days and seven nights until I came upon a simple lean-to that housed a great shaman. And I knelt down and I said to her, that's right, Dan, the shaman was a woman, you misogynist. I said, please, great shaman, tell me, what is the greatest sports stat of all time? And shaking hands, she lit a fire and she went into a sort of a trance. And I waited patiently and many, many hours went by. And then I got a little restless and I was like, are we getting close? And she held up one knotted, twisted finger. And then, Dan, she gave it to me.
Really?
She gave me, wait a minute, gave me the perfect stat.
No, you're going to offer us, our audience, there will be no stats after this. This is the best of all the stats ever done.
She gave me the perfect sports stat, which is greater than all other stats. And I am here today to give that stat to you and to the listeners of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. But first, I think in order to properly prepare everyone to receive the knowledge of the perfect stat, I think we must play the long version of the stat of the day theme music.
Oh, no.
For real?
It's necessary. It's necessary, yes. So I think long. in order to set the stage for what you're about to hear, which will certainly
we'll
change your lives
we'll
forever.
Deserve it. Yes.
We need to play the long version of the stat of the day theme song.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day.
Let's go, Uncle Luke, bloody Miami Bass in their face. Face.
Hey people, listen up, players. Cut the bleep. It is time to go on a journey. I will take a flamethrower to this place.
Aye, puppy.
Is it just me? Or is it a little warm in here?
Get it.
Flaming doodoo fire. Flaming doodoo fire. Flaming doodoo fire. So loud. They can kiss my old Cuban ass.
Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Yo, who did this? And who did that? Lay up, way up, before they block that. That boy hot, he on fire. I'm talking back to back and stats don't lie. You gotta have these skills, you can't fake this up. It's going in the record book, you can't make this up. Man down, time out, somebody break this up. Kick him out, double tap, show if he act up. Oh boy, my boy, it just got real. What you think this is? Oh, you gon' take this L for real.
Hey, yo, Method Man, one time for you, yeah.
It's the stat of the day. Yep, the stat of the day. This ain't a Stephen King novel, so don't get carried away. I borrowed the line from Poppy while I was passing the J. Man, what happened to Gase? It's the stat of the day. Yep, the stat of the day. Long as the numbers don't lie, that's all that matters today. Shout to Poppy, cause he probably was a Mac in his day. Am I gay? Where Dolphin must have been the catch of the day.
Right off the bat, it's off the map. Digging down in the almanac, who got the stat? Give it to us, just drop the facts, all of that. Running numbers, now I want the stat.
Ain't no time for arguments, yo, let me see them facts. Yo, don't you bother talking shit, I ain't got time for that. Before you claim a single thing, you better run it back. Ain't no racking up, no double U's until I see them stats.
Who got the stat? Who got the stat? Who got the stat? Stat of the day.
Stat of the day. Get this here, stat of the day.
Stat of the day.
It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. It's the stat of the day. I wanted to sing a little song to introduce the segment. A tradition like no other. Is this a little much? No, no, no. It's time for the long version of the stat of the day. Stukats will read us the stat of the day.
Matt Hasselbeck was struck by lightning twice. Sugary Robinson's son is in the Hall of Fame for roller derby. What? 1.25 billion chicken wings get eaten on every Super Bowl Sunday. That's 625 million wingless chickens. In 1943, the Steelers and the Eagles lost so many players to service in World War II that the teams combined, and they called it the Steagles. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. I can't believe Dan thought Josh Allen would never be a good quarterback. Michael Phelps hit the longest golf putt ever made on camera at 159 feet. That's deep. The Harlem Globetrotters are originally from Chicago and known as the Savoy Big Five. And that ain't no jive. Joe Theismann's last name is actually pronounced Theismann, but a marketing guy at Notre Dame got him to change it to Theismann, so Theismann rhymes with Heisman. Theismann, Heisman. Joe came in second that year to Jim Plunkett. Man, that don't even rhyme. Who would have thunk it? Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Can't believe Dan thought Josh Allen would never be a good quarterback. Running backs don't matter. Sacks are not a QB stat. Magnus effect. Draft capital. True shooting percentage. That's what win rate. What's a Pythagorean expectation? Spin efficiency. Yak like Kittle? Nobody's got yak like Kittle, man. Kittle's got crazy yak. Regress to the mean. Regress to the mean. Yeah, that's the stat of the day.
this is.
Oh my God, look who is here. Our original G. Hit them with something sexy, Kenny G.
Every time I hear that church chorus, since I the first time they
so
sent
good.
It to me, the first I it made me so happy to
I
hear
have to
that.
Pee so bad. That was so long.
It is very long. Mike, what do you have for us? What is the perfect, the promised and perfect stat of the day?
In the entire 1985 season, Wade Boggs only popped up to the infield three times.
That's it?
Yeah, in retrospect, it maybe wasn't worth the journey.
Jesus!
I'm just now realizing that maybe that's...
that it you wasn't fool! Worth
it. We stayed on a Friday for this?
Jessica's peeing right
I'm
now.
I'm leaving right now. This is ridiculous.
I'm really sorry. I have to apologize. At the time when she told it to
source?
Me, it felt like
source?
It felt like something. The shaman. I told you it's the shaman.